This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Cowles behind the glass, and joining us on the Fan Hotline right now is our guy, Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. Chris, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Doran. How are we doing today? I'm all right, man. Training camp just started for Steelers. Pitt's in a couple of days. I'm pretty excited, man. It's a lot. Football's coming back, and that's a great time for me.
Yeah, I could smell it in the air. And you were there yesterday at training camp, and obviously the news coming out that Russell Wilson has a little calf strain or calf soreness, so didn't participate in practice yesterday, and Justin Fields was called upon to be the starter at quarterback for the Steelers of their first day of training camp. What are your initial thoughts? What did you see, and how did Justin Fields look yesterday?
I thought Justin Fields showed a lot of what we've known of him in that when he is on, he makes some really impressive plays. He had a couple just laser throws that were just very impressive. Some to Pat Freiermuth. He had a deep one to Van Jefferson. There were some really good throws, but there were also some points where he just flat out missed guys. But I think that's part of what the Steelers are trying to kind of recoup with Justin Fields. He was wildly inconsistent at times in Chicago. That's why he never really caught on there, on top of their organizational problems. My biggest thing for Justin Fields is, how is he going to progress throughout this training camp? I think that's a big task for new quarterback coach Tom Arth, who's going to be working with him on his form. I think that's where he's going to have to shorten his release, his throw. He's going to need to figure out a more consistent muscle memory. But when he does that and he starts to understand what the Steelers offense is supposed to do, that's when we'll get to see the real Justin Fields, and who knows, maybe this is the real Justin Fields and he won't grow, but I always give every player the benefit of the doubt. I think that he has a really good chance to grow a lot this summer, and I think as far as a starting point for training camp, I think he did a good job yesterday.
I love being able to follow you through things like yesterday, because you kind of break down almost every drill and I don't have to be there in order for me to follow. So I thank you for doing that, and I'm sure a lot of people that follow you and are engaged with you appreciate you breaking down almost every session of training camp. And what I did see from you yesterday is one guy's name pop up a lot. Now, I know that there's a video out there of Justin Fields throwing the deep ball to Van Jefferson, but Dante Jackson fell down on that play. But I also saw Dante Jackson be a part of a lot of pass breakups, be a part of a lot of situations yesterday. How did he look in the first day of training camp, knowing that he's probably going to be the starting quarter on the opposite side of Joey Porter Jr.?
I thought he looked really good, Doran, and I think it's a really good sign for the secondary that he looked as good as he did, at least. And again, it's no pads. It's still early. We've had the training camp Warriors come into Pittsburgh over the years and look really good before the pads go on, and then when the pads went on, they kind of like disappeared. But I don't think it's going to happen for Dante Jackson. I said this before. When Dante Jackson kind of got burnt in Carolina, he was the number one cornerback, and like that was part of the problem, was that I don't think he was ever the ace cornerback that was going to take on your Justin Jeffersons, your Jamar Chases. But you put him on a team where he doesn't have to be the number one, where he can kind of be the number two, and he could take on most number two receivers and occasionally a number one. I think that's his pace. I think that's where that fits his skill set very well. And at least yesterday, he looked pretty good. He also matched up with George Pickens several times and more than just held his own. I think I'd say he won most of the matchups that he had with George Pickens. That's a very good sign for Dante Jackson. I'll also say, Deshaun Elliott also looked really good. They threw him in the slot. I even asked Omar Khan, like, hey, was that part of the expectations that he would do that more? Because, you know, Cam Sutton can practice right now. Like, there's nothing holding back Cam Sutton from being on the practice field. His suspension won't really begin until the actual season starts. But when it comes to when it comes to what we're seeing with the secondary, you're seeing two new pieces, Dante Jackson and Deshaun Elliott, quickly turning heads at training camp. And these are the pieces that they were missing last year. You know, a consistent slot corner, though I think Tanner Sullivan got better throughout the year. Deshaun Elliott's a different kind of player when he could do that and also play strong safety. And Dante Jackson, Patrick Peterson's a legend. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But when he came to the Steelers, he was older, not as fast. Dante Jackson don't got speed problems. And I think that's what's really impressive about him. He sticks in your hip pocket. He's not just fast. He's technically sound, and that's a very good thing to have across from Joey Porter, who, when I asked about him, he talked about, like, hey, I've always liked that guy. He likes to chirp at players. I love to chirp at players, and he thinks that they're a great pair together.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Follow me at Scorin Doran, and also follow Chris Carter at Carter Critiques. As I said, he breaks down training camp, so if you can't make it up to Latrobe, definitely follow Chris at Carter Critiques, because he breaks everything down so you don't really have to be there and you can follow what's going on. Pat Freiermuth, Chris, he has moved around a lot. I talked to him a lot throughout the offseason, talked to him a little bit last month, and he loves Arthur Smith. And I told him, and he texted me that as soon as Arthur Smith was hired, because he knew that Arthur Smith was my tight end coach and knows that I have a relationship with him, and he's very tight end centric, Arthur Smith is. But yesterday, from following you and following everybody else, Pat Freiermuth was moved around a lot. He was targeted a lot. Is Pat Freiermuth the number two receiver on this team heading into the season?
I mean, heck, he might end up being the number one receiver, you know, if they keep throwing it to him, Doran. I even asked him after practice. I was like, was this refreshing? Because, like, you know, we heard from Pat Freiermuth during OTAs and minicamp being like, hey, you know, he's saying like, hey, yeah, I've been told that, you know, the tight end's going to be given a big emphasis in this offense, you know, but to see it, you know, in practice, to be part of it, I was like, was that refreshing? He was like, oh yes. Like, he kind of gave like a sense of release, like, yeah, I'm very happy with how this first practice went. And I think that's the big thing, because I mean, Doran, you've seen the potential with Pat Freiermuth. His rookie year, he had 7 touchdowns because Ben Roethlisberger kept feeding him in the red zone, but he hasn't had the chance really to pop off for big yards. And I think he can absolutely do that. Like, you go back and you look at what he did against the Bengals in the first game they played them last season. He had 120 yards and they were just getting started. That was the first game they had without Matt Canada. And then the second game they played the Bengals, they used him as a decoy, and the Bengals kept double covering him and leaving open other guys. So I think Pat Freiermuth could be a very really good weapon, a serious threat to all defenses, and he could provide some serious matchup nightmares that could open up more opportunities for George Pickens, and as well as make it easier on the likes of Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson, Roman Wilson to get more one-on-one matchups against second, third, and fourth defensive backs on teams' defenses.
What were some of the offensive line configurations? I mean, you know, Broderick Jones played some right tackle from what I saw. Then he moved to some left. Dan Moore Jr. was in the mix. And how did the rookies look? How did Faltano look on his first day? How did Zach Frazier snap the ball on his first day?
Well, I'll say Broderick Jones started at right tackle. They had basically the same line from last year with Nate Herbig as the center for the first team. Broderick Jones was on the right. I thought he was fine. And then when the second team came in, then he moved to the left. And then they also started jumbling up teams so that it wasn't all one team, all first or all second team. But I think they were just trying to get as many reps as possible for different guys. I thought Broderick Jones did fine. I thought Troy Faltano did fine. Zach Frazier did have a low snap that kind of killed a play once, but other than that, I thought he was okay as well. It's also just a lot tougher. You know this, Doran. It's tough to judge linemen when the pads aren't on. They're just kind of trying to look comfortable. And at least from what I saw, I thought the linemen were fine for like where they were. I didn't see too many guys looking like they were so out of place. There were a couple overload blitzes that got through on stuff, but that stuff's going to happen on the first day at camp. I'm going to be intrigued. Next Tuesday is when, or the, you know, this upcoming Tuesday is when you're going to see the pads go on. That's when I want to see How has Broderick Jones grown? He goes up against T.J. Watt on the edge. You know, how does he look when he does that against Watt, against Highsmith, against Herbig? You know, if he looks smooth there and his feet look better and he's getting his hand placement right so that the edge rushers aren't getting into his frame and he's not letting them get clean off the edge, that's going to go a long way. And then I do think what you're going to see is Broderick Jones get moved to left tackle if he shows progress there. So that's what you're kind of looking for over the next few days is just does he not get hurt? Does he look comfortable so that when the pads go on, what does he look like then? That's going to be the big talking point there. So, Broderick Jones is fine. I thought Dan Moore Jr. was also solid. This is the other thing. I think that a lot of Steelers fans just assume he's going to be moved out the picture. Dan Moore Jr. is a 3-year starter, and so he's entering his fourth year. That's not just something that Troy Faltano could just leap over without showing some actual work. And I think that's where it's going to take some job. But this is also why they got Troy Faltano, because he's not like Broderick Jones where he's coming into the league at like almost 20 years old, you know, and he's a guy that's going to be quicker to adapt. I think that Faltano will end up being a starter sooner rather than later, but Dan Moore Jr. is going to hold on to it. And he had a good first day of camp.
Is there anybody else that caught your eye? Anybody else that, you know, isn't a huge name on the Steelers that maybe caught your eye yesterday? It's like, oh man, that guy might have an opportunity to make this roster.
Beanie Bishop, the cornerback out of West Virginia, did a really good job filling in. He was the next slot option behind Deshaun Elliott, and honestly, I thought he fit in very well. I thought he's someone that, you know, could have a Mike Hilton type of run for the Steelers, because he has to figure out his way on special teams, and with the new special teams rules, who knows what's going to be asked of people there. But I thought he looked good there. I thought Peyton Wilson, the rookie linebacker out of NC State, I thought he moved when you saw him. I mean, you just see how he moves in space, Doran, his size. And this is what I loved about him at NC State. I covered him in the ACC. You know, I cover Pitt. And I just like, that guy's a real athlete. I know people are concerned about his knee injury history and all that. But, man, if you even get 5 years of what I saw, what I've seen of Peyton Wilson do in college, and that translates quickly to the pros, the Steelers are going to have some studs at linebacker with him and Patrick Queen, and that could be a real threat there. So I'd say Peyton Wilson also had a really good day. In general, I thought the secondary looked pretty solid. Corey Trice being back out there and being healthy with no knee brace, moving around, looking comfortable, I thought that was a very good sign. The Steelers have a lot of young players on this team, Doran, and I think there's a lot of chances for guys to step up, make their name for themselves, but also make this one of the deeper Steelers teams that we've seen in a long time. We haven't seen a team with real depth, I think, take over. You know, last year they kind of held on because practice squad guys sort of came in, but, you know, second and third string guys being ready at the helm. I also think DeMarvin Leal looked a lot better. I think he's a guy who's lost some weight, gotten a little bit quicker, got a little bit faster. He's a little more fork focused now. Because remember, the Steelers drafted him very young. He was like 20, he was also like 20 years old coming out of college. Now he's 22, 23 years old. I think he knows a lot better what's expected of him. And I think him and Keanu Benton are going to be a real nasty 1-2 punch if they continue to progress in the right way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pitt football opens training camp on Wednesday. Give us one X factor of if Pitt football has a successful season, this guy has to play at a high level. One X factor on Pitt football's team.
Man, you one X factor. You limited me here because I think that there's a bunch of guys.
Well, then, give us a bunch.
So, okay. Cruz Brookins was the guy that I wrote about throughout spring camp. And I think he's going to be a problem. He's a safety. But the thing is that Pitt has so many good safeties. Donovan McMillan, I think, is extremely talented. Javon McIntyre, P.J. O'Brien, even Jesse Anderson, the redshirt freshman. That thing, they got two redshirt freshmen in Brookins and Anderson that can be in the slot, be a strong safety, be a free safety. I love the way that they look. I think Cruz Brookins is going to be the next superstar there. But again, McMillan, I think, is a guy that's going to go to the NFL and look really solid. Javon McIntyre, I think, you know, he didn't have any interceptions last year, but I think he's a guy who can be beyond that. P.J. O'Brien, experienced, knows the system. He's gonna carry the culture. I think the safety room as a whole is going to be really impressive. I also think the linebackers are going to be impressive. Brandon George is the leading voice there, but look out for guys like Braylon Lovelace, Jordan Bass, Kyle Lewis, Rasheem Biles. All these guys are sophomores. Mm. These are all, you know, I think Kyle Lewis is a redshirt sophomore, but all these guys are sophomores, and they have so much youth and speed. And by the way, there's this guy, Cam Lindsay from Aliquippa, that's a true freshman. He's going to be in the mix. I think the true like talent a pool for Pitt's defense this year is going to be its off-ball moving defenders that can move around the middle part of the field between safety and linebacker. Those are the guys that are going to be blitzing, making turnovers happen. That's the group I think you want to see on defense. On offense, I'm really looking at guys like Kanate Mumfield. I think that we know how good he can be, but now let's see how good he is in an offense that's more coordinated, an offense with a quarterback who can be on time with the ball like Nate Yarnell. I think it's going to be really interesting to see him. But then I'm also looking to see what receiver steps up behind him. We know about Kenny Johnson, the sophomore. Can he get sharper in his route running? I talked to him a couple times when I got to see him throughout this offseason, and he told me he's like, that's all he's been working on, is trying to get his footwork better, be more consistent, get his hands right. He's been working on those things. You know, they got guys brought from the West Carolina offense, Sincerely and Raphael Williams. But I'm looking at Zion Fowler and Lamar Seymour. How do they fit into this offense? Che Nwabuko, you know, he was a speedster last year. All those guys, I think, can be difference makers on this offense. And then I recently wrote about this for the Post-Gazette. Running back. I think running back is going to be used so much, so differently in Cade Bell's offense than it has been in recent years because of the high pace that they're going to ask to be at. They're not just going to be lining up in the backfield, taking the handoff and going. You're going to need to be even more of a pass protector. You're going to need to be able to line up in the slot because they're going to motion you out there. So Rodney Hammond's still the number one, but look for the mix of Desmond Reed, who's used to the West Carolina offense, Derek Davis, who when I talked to him, he said, I'm so much faster. He said, I'm back, you know, back to what he used to be, what he felt he could do at Gateway. There's a lot of really, really good positives for this offense, but they just need to click. They need this offense to work. They need Nate Yarnell to be on point, and they need this offensive line to coalesce quickly. If they do those things, this Pitt team's going to be a lot better than it was last year.
You're the man, Chris. Thank you for joining the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Doran.
Yes, sir. We'll see you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.